Welcome to our new micro podcast series, where authors answer four questions provided by the Journal of Neurophysiology's Editor-in-Chief, Professor Nina Ramirez. Hi, I'm Jamie Jones, your host, and I hope you enjoy this new series. Sit back, relax, and take a listen.
My name is Jessica Whitaker Fornick. I am currently working as a postdoc in Erica Levitt's laboratory at the University of Michigan. I recently published my research on inhibitory neurotransmission in Rett syndrome mice in the Journal of Neurophysiology, and I'm very excited to share a little bit about that research in this podcast. So along with me, my other co-authors include my mentor, Erica Levitt. She is an associate professor in the Department of Pharmacology here at the University of Michigan. And Paul Jenkins, he is an assistant professor in the pharmacology department as well. I was really excited to get the chance to work with Paul because I gave a departmental seminar last year presenting some of this research, and he has particular expertise in neuronal architecture and particularly the axon initial segment. So presenting my work last year led to this collaboration with Paul that then led him to being a co-author on this paper as well. So what really motivated this particular study was my fundamental interest in neurodevelopment, and particularly the development of respiratory-controlling neurons. And also, whenever I first joined Erica's lab, she was beginning a new line of research on the neural underpinnings of respiratory irregularities in Rett syndrome. If you haven't heard about Rett syndrome before, it's a very severe neurodevelopmental disorder that involves major motor deficits, including breathing irregularity. And the goal of our research is to understand these fundamental mechanisms at the neurophysiology level that may be contributing to respiratory irregularities in Rett syndrome. But we don't work with human patients. Instead, we take advantage of mouse models of Rett syndrome that have mutations in the same genes that cause Rett syndrome in humans. And so for this study, my main findings, or maybe I'll tell you a little bit about the purpose, the goal of the study. So in my study, I was really interested in how neurons that control respiration that are located in the pons, how are they functioning in the context of Rett syndrome? And so what we found is that in male mice that are a model of Rett syndrome, so we call them male Rett mice, that they have a decrease in their frequency of spontaneous inhibitory postsynaptic currents in KF neurons. And so KF neurons, that stands for Kolliker Fuse neurons. And these neurons are located in the pons, and they're mainly involved in modulating our respiratory rate. And they also maintain upper airway patency. So my question was, in the context of Rett syndrome, where we know that there are breathing irregularities going on, even in these Rett syndrome mice, how are these KF neurons functioning? And there had been some evidence from literature from other laboratories that suggested that there could be deficient inhibitory synaptic transmission onto these KF neurons that may be contributing to breathing irregularities. But no one had actually recorded from these Kolliker Fuse neurons to see whether inhibitory neurotransmission was functioning normally or was possibly deficient. And so that's what I set out to do. And my main findings were that in male Rett syndrome mice, they actually have a decrease in the frequency of inhibitory postsynaptic currents. And so that means that there's less presynaptic inhibitory inputs onto these neurons, which could lead them to being hyperexcitable. And since KF neurons are involved in modulating respiratory rhythm, then that could lead to breathing irregularities. I also performed experiments using female Rett syndrome mice, and it's important to note that Rett syndrome is caused by mutations to a gene that encodes a transcription factor called MECP2 or MECP2. That stands for methyl-CpG binding protein 2. And this gene is located on the X chromosome. So females with Rett syndrome are heterozygous for these MECP2 mutations. And due to partial X inactivation, these female mice have some neurons that have functional MECP2 and then some that have the mutated gene and then have some issues or they don't produce MECP2. So it's a little bit more complex phenotype in females, and accordingly in mice, they don't develop breathing irregularities until much later in development. So for mice, that's around 6 months of age. So my findings for females were actually different than the males. Females had no differences in their inhibitory postsynaptic currents or action potential firing properties. But we know that the female mice are having breathing irregularities. So that draws attention to other aspects of their respiratory controlling network that may be having some problems that can be studied in the future. The methods that I used to perform the study was acute brain slice electrophysiology. And so what that looks like is I place brain slices into warmed and oxygenated artificial cerebral spinal fluid. And then I record from cholecalciferol fusae neurons that I locate within the slice using a technique called patch clamping. I am able to clamp the voltage of a given neuron that I'm recording from in order to measure changes in currents. And these synaptic currents are corresponding to presynaptic neurons that are releasing neurotransmitter onto this neuron, binding to receptors, and then resulting in this case, inhibitory current. So the movement of chloride into these neurons, which would hyperpolarize them and make them less likely to fire action potentials. In addition, I performed these studies using male and female Rett syndrome mice. Both male and female mice were symptomatic, so that means that they had breathing irregularities. And one important note is that male mice develop breathing irregularities very early on, so when they're only about 4 to 6 weeks of age, but they have very short lifespans due to that complete lack of the protein MECP2. So I performed these experiments in males that were 4 to 6 weeks old, and then in female mice that were 6 months old, which is the time when these mice develop breathing irregularities. And then to isolate inhibitory postsynaptic currents, I used pharmacologic approaches. Basically, I added drugs that blocked excitatory neurotransmission so that I could just measure the inhibitory transmission. And so what are the next steps of this project? So we know that Rett syndrome is very complex. There has been a lot of research using mouse models of Rett syndrome. But from the neurophysiology side of things, most of these studies have focused on male mice that completely lack MECP2. My findings are indicating that in female mice, the physiology of KF neurons in particular may be still intact. So that could mean that there are sex-dependent mechanisms that are underlying respiratory irregularities in the female mice that are different than males. And I think that it really draws attention to the importance of studying the physiology of respiratory controlling neurons in both male and female Rett syndrome mice. In the future, I'm also interested in finding out where are these deficient inhibitory synaptic currents coming from in the males. The KF receives projections from multiple respiratory controlling areas and also areas such as the amygdala. So that would be another next step, is to figure out where are these inhibitory inputs coming from that are deficient, so that maybe we could boost the activity of those areas and possibly restore breathing regularity, at least in male Rett syndrome mice. And then for females, I would suggest that we should record from neurons that are located in other areas of the respiratory network. Because just because there aren't deficiencies here doesn't mean there may be deficiencies elsewhere. And then in addition, I only measured the inhibitory side of synaptic transmission, and there could be changes in excitatory transmission that have yet to be seen. Thank you so much for listening to this little podcast about my research. I'm happy to answer any questions and talk further in the future. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was brought to you by the Journal of Neurophysiology and produced by me, Jamie Jones. If you would like to hear our latest episodes, please visit the Journal of Neurophysiology's homepage.